chorus, you may be seated, the chorus of a hymn written by Jonathan Oatman. The chorus says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." This morning, I'm going to challenge all of us. I'm going to challenge all of us to think about our blessings and to think about living a thankful life. Now, obviously, it's the season for Thanksgiving. And obviously, many cliches are thrown around. I don't know how many people I met recently, and I'm happy for it, who, when I say, "How are you?" they say, "I'm blessed." Well, that's a wonderful thing. I just wonder if we really understand how truly blessed we are. I thought about, and in fact, I'm going to ask you to at least consider on the back page of your bulletin, if you have a ink pen or a pencil, if not, do a mental list today of some of the ways that you are blessed and things for which you are truly thankful, to make sure you haven't developed in this culture in which we live a sense of privilege and entitlement rather than being folks who recognize how truly blessed we are and how thankful we need to be. I do want to say a couple of things before I get into the heart of the message. I encourage you, if at all possible, to come to the Thanksgiving service Wednesday night for an hour. We have some different folks in the community involved. Our new neighbor at Pioneer Baptist, Steve Drayson, will preach. Troy Lay, who does our security, will be leading the singing. Channing Salee, who's pianist at Pioneer, will be playing the piano for us. Reverend Ken Goffin, whom some of you don't know, who's the pastor at St. Peter's AME, will be a part of the program. Joshua Stein, chaplain for the nursing home and for the military, will be on our program. It'll be an hour of the community coming together to give thanks on the eve of Thanksgiving. And we are planning a little light refreshment over here. I like that word, Vance, annex. It's not totally complete yet, but we can do some hot coffee and cider and some cookies, and we could use a little help. And if you will see my dear wife, she will tell you how you can help with that. Well, Lord of mercy. Oh, pardon me. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take another 2 weeks. More gets done when I'm gone. I take 2 more weeks, we'll have this thing completely remodeled. Thank you, Colleen. I need it. So there's that, if you can make it. The other thing is, Robbie and I have been talking on this third Sunday in December when we go to the Willows about making that a real special caroling event, our time of those people out there love music. And Mike, we hope we can get you involved and all the instruments. We'll do Christmas carols. We'll do hymns. We'll probably do a little rock and roll. I mean, they love music and just, I mean, great country music. They love country music. I tell you what, and you can feel free to sing. I'm allowed to sing there. Those folks can't hear too well. They say, "You know, you're a pretty good singer." I said, "I love going there. You'll love it too." And we're going to try to make that a real special event. And then we hope after that, we haven't put the plans together, to come back over here at the church to the great room and have some fellowship together on that Sunday. So those are some of the plans, unless while I'm gone there have been other plans that I don't know about. So that's fine. That is just fine. Well, let me ask you, are you blessed today? Do we have room to understand all the reasons we have to be thankful? I know we need that reminder. So I'm going to share with you a couple of three things about a thankful life this morning from passages in the Scripture. There's a very interesting story with which we are all familiar in the life of Jesus as he journeyed about Galilee and Samaria. This one's found in the 17th chapter of Luke. It's the story of the 10 lepers. And let's just read it and hear ourselves once again becoming familiar with an all too common event. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, there are a couple of things I want to introduce to you as we begin this little study this morning. First of all, there are over 135 references in the Bible regarding being thankful. So I would take it to be very important. We understand that Thanksgiving or being thankful is more than one Thursday in November. It is a lifestyle for daily living. Jonathan Oatman, who wrote that hymn, "Count Your Blessings," and he wrote that hymn to encourage young people in his day. And this was in the early 1900s, the late 1890s, that great hymn was written. And he said, "It's impossible to be thankful and at the same time grumpy, cantankerous, critical, or ill-tempered." So one of the cures for any of you who deal with grumpiness, cantankerousness, being critical or ill-tempered, is to develop your thankful heart. Count your blessings. Now, I would say that all of us at some time or another, in fact, I think I was accused on vacation one day of being a little grumpy. Some folks are downright cantankerous. Some tend toward being critical. Bless your heart. Some tend toward being critical and ill-tempered. I believe there's a cure for that. It's to count your blessings. I think we spend too much time probably focusing on our burdens rather than counting our blessings. And so I would tell you there are 3 things in this message this morning. The first one is from this text in Luke. There is an encounter that leads to a thankful life. And then we'll look at a couple of other passages that give us exhortations for a thankful life and experiencing the peace that comes from having a thankful life. So, when we read this story, we're familiar with the plight of the leper in Jesus' day and beyond. Because the law of Moses required that those who were suspected of having leprosy be alienated from the camp. It began in the days that they were traveling from Egypt into the promised land. They were to be separated from the camp. And so it continued through the law of Moses that anyone who was diagnosed as a leper had to stay away from his family and from every who's alienated, lonely, miserable life. And often those who shared that common misery lived together in leper colonies. They were required to let folks know if anyone got near leprosy, and they were to and the men were to cover their mustache, their heads already being shaved, unclean. And so these 10 men had obviously heard of Jesus, and he was at this certain village in the area of Galilee and Samaria. And it's also interesting that common problems can sometimes bind people together who otherwise would not be in the same circle. A Samaritan with nine Jews. You know, sometimes when the circumstances get rough enough, you don't become so picky about who helps you or where you get your comfort. And so these men had heard about Jesus and they cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus, following the prescription of the law of Moses, did exactly what Moses required. When anyone was at the point of being healed, they had to go show themselves to the priest. And he said to them simply, "Go show yourself to the priest." It took an act of faith on their part, because as they obeyed, and George reminded us in that word from the Lord this morning, which is always so pertinent, trust and obey. They trusted that Jesus could do what he said he would do, and it required a simple act of obedience. Go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. When they realized that they were cleansed, one ran back to Jesus and glorified God by giving thanks for his healing, and he just happened to be a Samaritan. I think there are a lot of hidden little nuggets about human nature. The Jews felt superior to everyone, especially the Samaritans. Could it be that even in a leprous condition, being Jewish may have given them some idea of privilege and entitlement rather than a heart of thanksgiving? This Samaritan reminds me of the story of the meal Jesus had in the house of Simon the Pharisee, when the woman came and anointed Jesus' feet. And Simon and the others said, "What in the world? If he knew what kind of woman this is, he would not allow that." Jesus had told her sins were forgiven. And then he asked Simon that very profound question, "Who do you think loves the most?" And Simon had to say, "The one to whom much has been forgiven." Folks, I have found in my experience, and I would include probably myself in this particular category, I'm not as grateful as I ought to be. I'm not as thankful as I ought to be, because I've had a rather blessed life. And while sin is as much in my life, because we're all sinners, I've not been down the road that some people have been down, from which they've been rescued. It is a part of our makeup that's the way we operate. But may God help us to see that no matter where we are, what our path has been, we are eternally indebted to a God who has blessed us because he is a loving, gracious, merciful God. And so it is interesting to me that it was the Samaritan who came back and glorified God by falling at the feet of Jesus and saying, "Thank you." But folks, Jesus begs the question when he says, may I paraphrase, "Where are the other nine?" Because you see, the leprosy put them in a position. It didn't matter whether you were Jewish, Samaritan, Gentile, or whatever, you were in the same boat. Can you get the picture? I don't care who you are this morning in this audience. I don't care who I am. It doesn't make any difference. We're in the same boat because we're all sinners. And the leprosy is analogous to the sin in which we all stand. And so that encounter made that one man eternally grateful, and he glorified God. I'm basing everything else I'm going to say this morning on the fact, if you're here and are Christian, let me say even more than just the term Christian, if you're a believer, if you're one who loves Jesus and is a follower of Jesus, have received Jesus, have him in your life, you've had an encounter that should make you eternally grateful. regardless of whatever else comes down your path in life, you have had an encounter, just as that leper had an encounter with you. You've had an encounter to make you eternally grateful and thankful and live a thankful life. So with that foundation, we go to some exhortations for a thankful life. Paul, writing in 1 Thessalonians, says this, and I just chose a portion of what he said, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. It's toward the end of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And it's interesting that it comes following his teaching to them about Christ's second coming, about troublesome times that will come upon the world. But he tells them, don't grieve over those who have died in the Lord, for they will rise again. But then he reminds them in the last days there will be trouble, there will be the man of sin. So they're living with the same knowledge that you and I have, that we're in a troubled world. And it can be overwhelming and it can get us down. And so Paul says to them in the concluding verses that I've chosen, now we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, what does a thankful life look like? Well, I think we get some little glimpse of it here. Now, I know he says to recognize and esteem those who are over you. He's talking about the apostles and the evangelists and the elders and those who labor among us. Could I take that just a step further and say that it would be no contradiction to the scripture at all to say that the Bible teaches us to esteem others regardless of their position. In fact, the Bible says in another place, you know, don't be conceited, wise in your own eyes. Esteem others as better than yourself. If we begin to look at other folks and to esteem them and hold them in high regard, we can do that if we have this thankful attitude about God's blessings upon us. We don't have to be in competition with people. We don't have to base our estimation of people and our kindness and our regard upon what they do for us or can do for us. So I encourage you to esteem others. He says in verse 14, comfort the faint-hearted. What is a faint-hearted person? Well, that's those who, we know what it is to faint. They're exhausted. They're about to pass out. They need help. Faint-hearted, there are folks struggling with their faith. Someone has said, and this is a cliche that you've heard 1,000 times, but it fits here. Sometimes the church is the only army that shoots its wounded. It's been true that the faint-hearted, those who are struggling, we almost want to jump on them like sharks that see blood in the water. The Bible says when we live as we should live, we'll comfort the faint-hearted. Those who are struggling, we're going to lift them up, we're going to encourage them, uphold the weak. Sometimes we got to help other folks when they can't go. I mean, I think it's not just a matter of history that the Bible chose to record in the Old Testament when the Israelites were in the battle and Moses held his arms up. And as long as he could hold that staff up, they were winning. But when his arms got so tired, they dropped, they began losing. And two of those men, I think it was Aaron and Hur, came and propped his arms up because Moses couldn't hold out any longer. Folks, we're in the same army. We're fighting the same battles. And some of our folks get weak, and we need to come alongside and hold up their arms and be patient with all. Whew! gets on my last nerve. You heard that phrase. She gets on my last nerve. Whew. Can I tell you why the Bible says over and over we need to be patient with one another, long-suffering, bearing with one another? Because God knows what sorry creatures all of us are, and He knows we all need to be admonished to be patient with one another. That's just who we are. If it weren't an issue, if it weren't a problem, the Bible wouldn't address it so much. Oh, me. You ever get upset with folks and you think, well, I'm just, you know, I'm sharing with you pretty much. I don't know if you understand how important it is to just kind of get as real as you can sometimes. But your best friends get on your last nerve sometimes, don't they? Come on now. I was playing golf. Believe it or not, I was well enough to play golf. I was playing golf with two of my best friends Thursday. And those who play golf with me know I'm not really very good. We were playing on a hillside course, which was not good. And lo and behold, I par five, I'm laying on the edge of the green in three with a putt from here to the door. And that putt went as straight and hit that pin. And I thought it hit the pin and dropped in the hole, that it was wedged between the pin and the hole. I said, oh, a birdie from this hole. My best friend said, no. I'll give that to you when it goes in the hole. Well, I was so far I couldn't see. So then he kicked it back. And for the next eight holes, I was aggravated, and he was ticked off, and we had a communication problem. And finally, he said, Terry, it really hurts me that you would think that if you really had a birdie, I wouldn't give it to you. I said, man, I was sure, I thought I didn't know the rule. I thought if it was, it wasn't wedged. It hit the pin and dropped back that far, he said. I said, why didn't you say that in the first place so I could have understood? You never really put it in those terms. What we had there, folks, was a failure to communicate. You ever had a failure to communicate with your spouse? With a friend? There's a lot of need for patience. It didn't completely wear off. We got along pretty good. We went to dinner. We're doing fine. Then we sat down to play a game of aggravation with six people. The name of the game is enough. So us three boys, this is kind of a report on my vacation, so you know. Us three men were playing those three girls. And I'm a slow thinker. I process things slowly. My friend with whom I'm being patient, he could have been an air traffic controller. That ain't me. And so it's my turn to move the marble, and he's going, you know. And so I said, I would like to know, Mr. Brilliant, which move you thought I should have made. Well, you know we can't talk across the board. Now, that was Thursday, Friday. We had breakfast. We were all doing good. And in my heart, then Friday afternoon, I called him and said, brother, you home safely? I want you to know I love you. Make sure everybody's home safe and sound. Now, this is a true story that I just told you. But it illustrates the fact that we get on each other's nerves. I don't care how good your friendship is. We need to be patient. And as we learn to be thankful for all the blessings, and I take us back again to the fact that there is this encounter that we've all had with Jesus that gives us a basis for blessing and for feeling no need to run over top of everybody else. When we make a mistake, to be willing to repent, to be willing to say those words, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Be patient with all. And see that no one renders evil. Don't be trying to get in even with folks all the time. pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. You ever hear the phrase win-win situation? I believe God is the author of win-win situations. We can look at things and we can deal with things in such a way that we don't put somebody else automatically in the position of a loser. Don't try to get even. Pursue the things that are good for yourself. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now, folks, those are not easy things to do. They're admonitions for which we must strive. I would dare to say there's not a person in this room who can say, I rejoice always. That you've not had moments of being down, of being negative, of being doubtful. I doubt there's a person in this room who can say, I pray without ceasing. I just walk around praying all the time. And I don't even think that's what that verse means. I think pray without ceasing means that never let there be a season, a period of time, a whole attitude that envelops where you say, I'm just withdrawing from prayer. I think it means to be, as Paul told Timothy in his preaching, be instant, in season, out of season. Be ready to pray. Be ready to make God your first choice. And in everything, give thanks. How can you do that? I don't think when he says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that he's saying that everything that comes down your path is God's perfect will or plan. But it is the will of God for you and for me to give thanks in every situation. How can you give thanks in every situation? You can give thanks knowing that God is in control of that situation. You can give thanks knowing that if you blew it and made the worst mistake of your life, God is the redeemer of mistakes. You can give thanks because you know that if you sinned, when you confess your sins, God will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can give thanks in every situation. You can say, how can I give thanks in this sickness? Well, because only God knows the full impact of what he might be doing in that. You may never figure that out. Ultimately, and this is why a lot of folks say, that's the trouble with you Christians, you got pie in the sky mentality. Folks, it's not pie in the sky that to know that whatever comes our way, whatever it may be, ultimately we are victorious because Christ was victorious over death. Just as leprosy brought all men to the same level, just as sin brings us all to the same level, the enemy of the human race, death, will bring all men to the same level, except those who are in Christ are victorious over death. So no matter what the situation, you and I have reason to give thanks and live a thankful life and to know that we are blessed. Now we need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that. Because when your money is short, or you're facing an unexpected circumstance, or when you get that telephone call that is the news that took the very joy out of your day that you were enjoying, when all those things happen, how can you give thanks? Only by stopping, reminding yourself of who you are in Christ and what he is able to do in your life. And it is by faith and trust in him. And notice that he says, and I close this part, it is the will of God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Folks, we don't do any of this in our own strength. It's humanly impossible. It's by being in Christ. It's by going back to Christ. It's by leaning on Christ. It's by trusting in Christ. It is in Christ Jesus. We are like Paul. We are those who put all our confidence in Christ and none in our own flesh. And then I close this morning with experiencing the peace that comes with thankful living. Book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Something wonderful about peace. Notice that he says that in the very beginning, in verse 5, after rejoice in the Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. We can live with thankful hearts, with the recognition, first of all, that the Lord could come and take us to glory and this struggle would be over. He's at hand. It's imminent. But it's been 2,000 years since he made that promise to return again, and maybe another 2,000 before he does. But in the meantime, he didn't leave us. He's at hand. His abiding presence is right there. And that's why I say when we're facing these situations, we need to know the Lord is at hand. He tells us not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. They say that worry does no good. I read an article just the other day, a little short quip that says, don't tell me worry doesn't do any good. I worry about stuff, and 90% of it doesn't happen. Now, that's one philosophy for worry. You can go that route, or you can save yourself a whole lot of wasted energy by praying about it and trusting the Lord. Give it up. Choose carefully where your mind dwells. Think about things that are true and noble, just. I'm seeing something, and I tread cautiously here. I think we should all be abreast of what's going on in the world. We should at least have an awareness of what's happening. But I'm finding that I encounter folks who are almost getting depressed from watching too much news. Because the news of this world is not good. And I find that folks, my believing friends, who watch and watch and watch and get so disturbed that they're downright fearful, if not depressed, stay abreast of things. But I would suggest, and it's almost, I know the news in a way is neutral. I know Paul's talking about not, as we would say, keeping our mind in the gutter or keeping it negative. But pure things, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy, those are the things to think about. There aren't many things you watch on the news that's going to really encourage you. I don't meddle in other people's business, but if I could offer you a piece of practical advice, it would be however much time you're spending watching the news, take at least, for starters, 10 minutes off that and go read the Bible. And that could apply to a lot of other things that we spend our time that get us depressed. If you find that it's getting you depressed, getting you discouraged, eating away at your faith, maybe you ought to reconsider. Or go spend a little time just talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, I've seen this, now I put it in your hands. So when we do this, we have the peace that passes understanding, but then Paul closes by saying, then in verse 9, verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God can float away sometimes. All of us agree. Sometimes we walk in peace and sometimes we don't feel that peace. But as we trust in the Lord, there's one thing for sure. The God of peace himself will always be with us. Well, I'm closing. I appreciate your indulgence in my personal story. And I assure you those are not the least of my sins. That's just one I feel comfortable sharing. I hope you understand that. What I really trust is that each of us, starting with yours truly, will be moved to think more about how blessed we are, try to be more thankful and more grateful, worry less, and rejoice more. Let's stand together. Mike, what have you all chosen to do for the closing?
Seriously.
Well, I think maybe we could. I thought about that. If we need a moment to look that up. Do we, Brandy?
Yeah.
Count your blessings. How many of you know this great song? You've sung it forever, right?
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, see what God
Well, I count it a blessing just to be together with God's people and be reminded of the God that we serve. Amen? That's a blessing. And I'm sure that each of us will consciously be more aware of our blessings. And I trust that each of us will truly do that. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Please greet one another with the love of Christ today, and share a blessing with somebody before you leave this place.